We read God's word in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We read God's word this far. Our text is made up of verses 10 through 12 of the second chapter. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In the second epistle to the Thessalonians, beloved, and especially in the second chapter, the apostle is setting forth two main signs that precede and announce the coming of Jesus Christ: the sign of Antichrist and the sign of apostasy. The two signs are so related that the apostle speaks of them in one breath, as it were. Let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, he says in verse 3. And even though verse 3 is not part of our text, that word falling away is, in the Greek, the word apostasy, or the word from which we get our English word apostasy, a falling away. And then the apostle goes on to speak of the role of Antichrist in bringing that apostasy to pass, and having spoken of Antichrist at the end of verse 3 through verse 9, returns in verse 10 through 12 to speak of that apostasy and what will characterize it, who causes it, and what effect it will have, especially for the church, but also for those who fall away. Very clearly then, you and I, as we live in the last times and see the signs of our Lord being realized, must observe this sign, look out for this sign, even guard against this sign manifesting itself in our own midst. The apostle is speaking then of a future day, of the coming of Antichrist, that man at the very end of the world, and therefore of an apostasy that will be realized in his day. But remember that our Lord himself in Matthew 24 indicated that false Christs would characterize all of New Testament history, and that apostasy would characterize all of New Testament history. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And even said the inspired apostle in this chapter, the mystery of iniquity, that mystery that will culminate in Antichrist coming, doth already work. And therefore, as we call your attention to the apostasy of Antichrist's day, we will see that this is not merely a future historical phenomena, but a phenomenon that's already present today. Our theme then is the apostasy of Antichrist's day. First of all, historically manifest. Second, divinely caused. Third, soberly expected. Let's be clear on what apostasy is. The Greek word to fall from presupposes that a person has been standing, perhaps to illustrate standing in the body, standing on one's own two legs, more with regard to a truth or a doctrine, to be standing on a firm foundation, on a principle, that one has, in the second place, fallen from that position of standing. And in the third place, that fall has ruined them. They've been destroyed so that they will never stand again. Those three things are embedded in the idea of apostasy. And now from our text, let's see how that's true of the apostasy of which the scriptures speak. The truth or the reality of apostasy presupposes that men and women stood at one time for the gospel as it's revealed in Scripture, for the law of God, for every aspect of Scripture and of the gospel, of the Reformed biblical faith, and of the living out of that faith. Jesus indicated that in Matthew 24, verse 12, when he spoke of the love of many that waxed cold. A love, an outward love anyway, an apparent love at one time for what was right and true, for God, for the neighbor, and for truth. And our text indicates the same as it speaks of a sign that becomes evident in the outward visible church. Paul speaks to the church in Thessalonica, to be concrete, and speaks of people who once confessed the truth. They received not the love of the truth, but they received the truth. There is outwardly a stand for the truth at one point in their life. And though they believed not that truth, they knew it in their heads. That's the stand they took. A stand then for the Christian faith. A stand, we can say, for the Reformed faith. A stand for the triune God, for the deity, divinity of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, for the doctrines of sovereign grace, all of which truths are precious to us. But from that truth, from that stand, they fell. And their fall comes out, manifests itself in two ways. In the first place, as regards doctrines, truths that they once confessed, they no longer confess them. Instead, they confess the very opposite, so that the text speaks of them having a strong delusion and of believing a lie. The lie that they now believe and that they profess to be truth is the very contrast to the truth for which they once outwardly stood. They've fallen from it. They've done an about-face, a 180 and they have now renounced truth, doctrine for which they stood. That deception, that apostatizing comes about largely, both according to our text in light of the context, and according to Jesus' words in Matthew 24, because of what false prophets speak. Whether they be men who hold the office of the minister of the gospel and therefore speak from a pulpit, or whether they be men who, not put in office, nevertheless think they have a word that others must hear and find some way to promote that word, there are men promoting the lie, and some who once confessed truth now are deceived by the lie. So do they believe the lie, to use the words of the text, that they find confidence in it. That's the force of the word believe there. Not only is it their intellectual position or theory, but they believe that in this lie they will find salvation. And in the context of the chapter, one great lie is that this man, Antichrist, is the one who will save them. Formerly, they said they were looking for Jesus Christ to come on the clouds of heaven, looking for a salvation which would involve a glorification, being brought off this earth and being brought to live with God in glory. But now it is a man who will give them the bread they want, the health they crave, and every other earthly gift.